But we thought it'd be fun to start off with a little game. There is a point to all this, but she's going to pick a couple volunteers, and we are going to play this morning. Right here is good. We're going to play everybody's favorite childhood game, Hungry Hungry Hippos. All right? And so some of you just got really excited. Some of you are like, what are we doing? And so is it going to be you two?
Yep.
All right, so what I need you guys to do with me on the count of three is start cheering for your side. So over here, you guys are cheering for Miranda. Over here, you guys are cheering for Heather. All right? I think there's a lot more people cheering for Miranda, it looks like. And so.
And you need someone cheering for Valerie, too.
All right, then we have somebody cheering for Valerie. All right? Here, Valerie, why don't you actually stand on this side so they can see it from there? All right, so on the count of three, we're going to see how quickly this goes. And we are going to have fun. Are you guys ready? One, two, three, go. Oh. Oh, there we go. Who is our winner?
I got seven.
How much does the yellow ball cost?
Negatives. I don't
what?
Know.
No, it's not.
The Lord says I'm a winner.
What's that?
I got nine.
The Lord says I'm a winner.
That's right.
Nine.
That's right. And of course, Heather won. Yes. It was not fixed. All right. You can move that to the side. Congratulations, babe. Like every game we play, it's just, you know. We played some games yesterday, and it's just like, for whatever reason, everything would fall to her side. I'm like, how does this happen every time? You know, one of the... You cheat. It's very fun in our family to play games. We get very animated. And so we played a game. Anybody ever played a game called Dutch Blitz? You've never played it. It's a lot of fun. It can get very dangerous, but like literally I was me, my niece, and my wife, and like the things that would come out of them, like, ah! Like just all the expressions, and I'm like, parts of you you've never seen, you're like, it becomes scary, but a lot of fun. You know, the reality is, if you put on, you know, there's a couple of things. We've done Hungry Hungry Hippos. We're looking at this idea of simplify, and we're gonna look at we're gonna unpack this morning. I think there's a couple images that we had. You could skip the video this morning because we decided to go live. We did this once at a camp. We played the human version of Hungry Hungry Hippos, and you put people on little dollies and things like that, and then they have the baskets, and we would play Hungry Hungry Hippos. And, you know, and it really goes to this idea of, in life, where I feel like I look at this game and I go, this is kind of us in life sometimes, right? Just constantly trying to get more and more and more and never seem to be satisfied, never seem to be fulfilled. And, you know, I go to Jack in the Box and I eat their tacos and they are the nastiest things that I absolutely love. And yet, it's like you eat it and you're like, I want more. But yet, I don't need more. It's like one time... My niece said my brother went to Jack in the Box and ordered like 10 tacos at 2 a.m. in the morning. And I think he meant it for the family. But still, it was just like, I'm like, did he eat them all? And she was like, I think he did. I'm like, he's my hero. He just ate all these tacos. And it was just, it really comes back to, I think sometimes this idea that in our culture, we're the constantly need for more. If you go to the next image, you've probably known people that are like this. You know, they just have a lot. Some of us, let's just be honest, we don't know how to get rid of things. Others of us, we get rid of everything, and then we're like, I needed that. And you're like, I remember there was a person, a friend of mine, I'd go to their house all the time. We hung out, and just to get into their garage, we always seemed to go through their garage, but yet to get into the house through their garage was this kind of trail through just a house packed full of stuff. And somewhere in there was a 72 green Camaro, beautiful car that he was working on, and just stuff all around it. And I'm like, how do you guys ever find anything? And my friend was just, I don't know. And so, you know, there's just a reality that sometimes we have a lot of things. Now things aren't necessarily bad of themselves. I mean, and we're going to be going somewhere with this morning, but it goes back to this idea that if my life is anchored in Christ, then it doesn't need to be anchored in a lot of other things. And I think sometimes the reason we accumulate so much, and it's not just stuff, but we accumulate a lot of things in many ways, is because we're trying to find something to anchor ourselves in. You know, for some it's their identity, for others, all of us it's an identity of some sort. For others it's the things, right? Man, if somebody can realize just how cool I am because of the way I dress, or how well I'm doing because of what I drive, or how well, you know, all these things, so often we fall into anchoring ourselves into the wrong things. You know, and the Bible talks a lot about this idea of contentment. And Paul, who, and I joke all the time, I go, I mean, there's a statement that Paul made that over and over, I go, how do I find this in my life? And Paul says, I have found a way to be content in all things. And I'm like, he would say this as a person who had been shipwrecked, thrown overboard into the sea. He had been stoned. And when they did that in scripture, I mean, we're not talking pebbles. We're talking like boulders. He had regularly had to find reasons to escape from where he was, been imprisoned, all these things. And yet he makes this statement. He goes, yet in all of this, I have found a way to be content. And so simplifying, and the idea of simplicity, and the idea of somehow not anchoring ourselves in stuff, really comes down to a very spiritual issue, a very real issue of finding the contentment and the identity of being in Christ and resting in Him and knowing that our identity is in Him and not in the things that we have. So we're talking about, you know, this idea of simplicity. Simplicity is a freedom of complexity. Sometimes for us, some of us, it's this need to always be busy. You know, where do we just find time? Like, we almost feel guilty if we're not constantly doing something because, you know, we assume like, well, I've got to look busy. You can trace all these things back. Because why do we feel the need to do certain things that we do? Why do we feel the need to accumulate the things that we accumulate? And so it talks about the complexity, it's freedom from complexity, division or deceit, absence of pretentiousness. Simplicity is the idea of sincerity and uncomplicated. I kind of like that last word because I believe the enemy likes to make our life complicated. He likes to make things difficult for us. And he likes us to become distracted and pulled into so many things that God never intended for us. And we think so often our freedom is found in the stuff. It's found in what we accumulate, whether or in the way we portray our lives. And he's saying, no, oftentimes freedom is actually found in really a relationship with him, but in not being bound by all these things and all this stuff. You know, and I admittedly, I fall into it. One time I had a paid off 2003 Honda Civic, two-door black coupe thing. Loved the car, you know, and loved, it was a great car. It was paid off. And yet my friend was then selling a nicer car, and my thought was, I want the nicer car. Now, it's not necessarily bad to have a nice car, but it was more like, okay, God, why? And I remember thinking, like, I bought it, then I realized I couldn't afford it, then I realized it was cost a lot of money, and I realized, why did I really need this? I had a paid-off car that was in great shape, and yet I felt the need to get this other thing. And I believe that these things actually represent a very spiritual condition in our hearts. That talks a lot about where we find contentment and satisfaction in our lives. And I believe that God's ultimate goal is for us to find contentment and satisfaction in Him. I remember growing up, there was a family that I'd go to their home, and they didn't have a lot. They had five boys in a small home. They just didn't have anything, and yet they seemed so happy. And that's always stuck with me because I realized that their joy wasn't found in, again, the stuff that they had or didn't have. It was found in their relationship with God, and also, I believe, in finding joy in the right things as well. It's one of the reasons I think, you know, I desire a healthy family. It's because I believe there's joy in that that's healthy, in friendships that where the foundation is built around our love for one another and our love for God. That's healthy joy. You know, there's a difference really in our world between happiness and joy. You know, happiness in many ways is, you know, we're literally from our foundation, we're a pursuit of happiness, right? And there's a lot to that, but essentially we've always wanted to be this culture that we pursue the things that make us happy. But it's also so often so temporary. You know, a Jack in the Box taco makes me happy, but it doesn't necessarily bring me joy. You know, and so it can, but it's so temporary and so momentary. And not all things that make you happy are bad, right? I mean, again, I enjoy it. You know, you go out for some ice cream, man, that's great. But where are we looking and pursuing for the deeper things of joy that God desires to put into us and bring out in us and help us develop? You know, we find it creeps into so many things in our lives. We overcomplicate so much, and then we wonder why we're never satisfied, never content, never happy. I honestly believe part of why we see depression such a predominant thing is it's tied, in some ways, tied to some of these things. So we see this reality is that really simplicity is very much a spiritual issue. And why? Because we let stuff control us. Whether it's because of addiction, because we're stingy, because we're greedy. We let stuff define us, whether it's style or the latest gadgets. Man, I've got a perfectly good phone, and when the new iPhone comes out, I want that one. Why? Why? Because it's the cool new gadget, right? Now, some people just love techie stuff. I was a computer geek growing up. It kind of moved on beyond that because I didn't really have the money or the time. But I used to have my Commodore 64 set up in my house, had my own phone line plugged into it, and one person at a time could call my BBS, my bulletin board system. If you know what that is, we are fast friends, all right? Because most people are like, what are you talking about? Literally, I had my computer, my Commodore 64 set up to where somebody could call into the turtle shell, that's what I called it, and I was the system operator. That's where Scoot Turtle came from, if you ever want to know. Some of you know my email. Came from this thing when I was a 13-year-old kid where I just loved geeky stuff. And so, but sometimes we want these things because it needs, it somehow we let this stuff define us. Or we let it occupy us. Then part of the problem why simplicity is a spiritual issue is we let stuff occupy us. Time is occupied by our time to get more, and oftentimes it gets in the way of others. Or, you know, even this predominant pursuit of pleasure in our culture, constantly need for playing. And we think playing all the time equals rest, and it doesn't. Rest is very good. The Bible talks a lot about the importance of Sabbath. But if going out and playing all the time is justification for taking away our time with God and family and these things, then something isn't right and properly aligned in our lives. Now again, is going and playing a bad thing? No. Is going and enjoying things a bad thing? No, not at all. But I think there's a reality that we oftentimes let stuff control, define us, and occupy us. And all of these things pull us away from the kind of life that God desires for us and He knows is best for us. And so we get caught up into and essentially addicted to a lot of things. We usually think of addictions in terms of drugs, alcohol, you know, those kind of things. But, you know, some people, they're addicted to busyness. They're addicted to needing attention. They're addicted to needing people to, you know, always affirm them. And there's these things in life where God is constantly trying to be at work in healing our souls and making things right so that we can genuinely live out the life that God desires for each of us. And so all these things become at play. And so because of this, it begins to consume our time, energy, and life in the pursuit of more for whatever reason. In lives that are so preoccupied, being busy and consuming, we need to learn simplicity. If my life is to be anchored in Christ, it must be anchored, unanchored from a life of stuff. Ultimately, God is concerned about the things that let control you and consume you. And here again is that word control that we've talked about. God is concerned and is concerned about the things that we let have control of our lives, and we let then somehow dictate so many things about us. How much of our lives is spent again going around accumulating? Our culture started to learn something when the Bible has taught for centuries, is that the more we focus on accumulating, the less freedom we actually have and the more unhappiness we actually feel. So we see all of this reality. But simplicity allows for generosity and it makes room for joy. Some people have a hard time being generous because they have never learned the reality of not needing so much stuff. It's not just stuff. It's a way of thinking. You know, I've known people that had beautiful homes, and they're also very generous people. And the stuff didn't control them. It's not necessarily about that. It's more about, again, in this theme of what are you anchored in? What's controlling you? What's the thing that's driving and directing your life? And if it isn't Christ and your relationship anchored in him, then there's something that is controlling you that shouldn't be. So we want to look at the Bible, of course, and look at what verses say to us and what Scripture teaches. And I believe simplicity takes these things head on. It speaks to our true desire, which is contentment and satisfaction. I believe we desire in our life true satisfaction or peace and true contentment. And so I believe that when we begin to deal with some of these issues, we actually find ourselves in the place that God has for us and wants for us. And the first reality is this, the simplicity is a trust issue. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, "Don't love money, be satisfied with what you have, for God has said, I will never fail you and I will never abandon you." So the first reality is simplicity is a trust issue. It is a trust issue. Look at what he said there. It's just very, he says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have, for God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Because so often, what do? We put our trust in money. In our culture, we very much worship it. I mean, there's a lot that goes on that Scripture teaches that we don't follow necessarily. But where do we realize that our trust and our hope and our everything we need is in Christ? So therefore, I can also know that God is not going to abandon me. God is not going to forsake me. God is not going to forget me. So I can trust that he is the one who meets my needs and will provide a way to do so. But I also know that I have to learn to be content with what I have. That I'm satisfied with what I have because my life in Christ is not anchored in these things. It's not anchored in the stuff. It's anchored in him. That's what should define us. That's what should be our identity, and that's what should be the thing that drives us. Psalm 62:10 says this, "And if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life." And so Scripture recognizes that for some, you will do well in making money, and God blesses you in that, and that is not a negative thing at all. But where do we make sure that the stuff in life isn't controlling us? And I believe this hits at a lot of our culture because we are a culture that puts a great amount of worship on stuff. And it's very much in church culture, in the world, all through all of us. Over and over, we got to remember that because the enemy knows that if I can put my identity and my desire and all these other things, it pulls me away from what's most important. So he's saying, if you have had the ability to obtain wealth, don't let it be the thing that you put your attention to. Don't let it be the center of your life. Our heart is revealed through our use of our attitude of money. If we are preoccupied with our things, it takes us away from how much we love Jesus and others in the life that God has for us. We truly cannot fully trust him because we are still trusting in other things. So where do we recognize that we put these things in its proper place? Where do we realize that our trust should be that settled in Christ? Secondly, we realize this, the simplicity owns contentment. 1 Timothy 6, 6-9 says, "Yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we have brought nothing with us, and we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content." And these verses are very hard to read in our culture, I'll be honest, because we believe that our value is so tied to the stuff. And I believe that God, again, if he blesses you, don't let it be the thing that defines you and that you center your life in. Because I, again, have over and over found that people that truly live lives of significance are not ones who have obtained, but ones who learn to give away. My greatest contribution to this world is not what I get, but what I give. And that comes through Christ in me and through me. And that comes through me being obedient to God's word and not letting myself be shackled down to keep me from being able to be able to bless others in some capacity, whether it is through my giving, through my time, through my resources. And so sometimes what happens in lives that are not found in simplicity is that we get shackled down and no longer free to do the things that God is desiring to do in us and through us. Think of debt for a moment. I think we've all dealt with that in some way, if we want to be honest. And in our culture, most likely all of us have some form of debt. And we know the weight that that can feel on us sometimes. And we know the heaviness that can come with that. And I believe that God is not desiring us to be weighed down. Now, again, sometimes there are things, you take out a loan for a home, not a negative thing. Sometimes you need a car, you take out a loan. But in that, where do we use practical wisdom to get what we need? But also, do we accumulate so much and we build up so much stuff? I know for me, a lot of it has come because I just always want to get the easy thing, right? It's easier for me to go get fast food than it is to cook at home. And so sometimes we're driven by this desire to do what is easy and not necessarily what is good. But the scriptures teach us, and he goes, what is it you're anchored in? And then if you're not anchored in that thing, what is it that's driving you away from a life centered in Christ that might begin to bring bondage to you that you wouldn't even see potentially as bondage? Exodus 20:17 says this: you must not covet your neighbor's house or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. When he settled who we trust, we can then become content with whatever we have and do not have. With dealing with our trust in Jesus, we set ourselves, when we don't trust in him, when we don't align ourselves in him, we set ourselves up for failure. Think about what he said, and this is part of the Ten Commandments. He goes, don't covet other people's things. And I can tell you in our culture, that is, again, over and over, how often have you seen something, oh man, I wish I had that, man, that was nice. And then what do? Oh, why, how did they get that? Surely they must have done something. Must have done something, right? There's no way. And then when they have it, well, they shouldn't have all that. Others should get it somehow. Coveting and envy has become very much a dangerous element that runs throughout our culture. So where do we learn to not covet our neighbor's home, car, clothes? We're not talking about basic needs, and we're not talking about there are people that do things that are not just or right, and it affects other people. For a lot of us, we covet things, and yet we covet a person's home, but yet God has already provided a place for us to stay that is good, safe, comfortable. We don't go hungry, but yet we covet the person that's able to go out to eat all the time. So much of this says more about your heart and your situation than it does about the other person. Who cares if the other person's able to go out to eat more? Maybe that God has blessed them. That's really between them and God. Who cares if somebody else has a nicer home? Thank God that God has blessed them. And yet, so often, we have got to turn it back on ourselves and go, where is this about my condition of dissatisfaction, lack of contentment? Where is this about my lack of, being covetous, being envious? Sometimes you look at your situation and you look at somebody else's and go, man, I really wish I had that person's, I wish I had their property. Then you find out that guy has to spend hours a week mowing all of his acres of grass, and you're like, you know what, I'm fine with this over here. We love the house that Heather and I got, but we didn't think through at all. Like, man, mowing our backyard, it's terrible. It's like, it's a terrible yard. It's just, and we love the home. But then sometimes we, and what the Lord has provided for us is very good. It's comfortable. But there's times where I go, oh, I'd like this or that. Then I go, do I really need that? And where again is that coming from in my heart and my mind? It's just learning to realize that, again, all about my life should be anchored in Christ. The things that I have, the stuff that I do, my identity, all of that can't be the thing that controls me or defines me. Where do I find what it truly contentment is? And Paul said, he goes, man, there were times where I had seasons of plenty, I had more than enough, and I found contentment in that. But then he goes, there were times I was in want, and yet I found contentment in that. Again, it's not what you have or don't have. And it's not, again, don't be envious of the person that has more than you. There's always going to be people with more, then there's always going to be people with less. Where do you find contentment with where God has you? And where do you trust that your identity and everything is anchored in Him? This idea of simplicity isn't actually, again, about the stuff. It's about a heart and mindset that must exist in you. Our desire for things and freedom we think we have only become addictions to those things. To be honest, I've struggled a lot with food, and I think about, like, I have the freedom. Oh, man, I know I can get all this. And I realize now I crave these things that I almost wish I didn't want all the time. You know, I'm like joking. I'm like, why am I hungry at 10 at night? I don't need this stuff. Jack in the Box, stop calling out my name right now. Please stop. Because really, be very honest, so often it's because we have a selfish outlook. Again, sometimes that's tough to hear, because our culture is, it's so rampant in our culture. But I realize that if I find contentment with what I have and where I am, and I'm anchored in Christ, and I'm built in that, and I'm resting in that, I'm confident in that, and I'm okay that I don't have what maybe somebody else has, and God bless them, and I look to the other side and I see there are people in need, I find that I can celebrate with the person whom God has blessed, and I can become generous with the person who has need. Because we realize this, simplicity leads to generosity. Proverbs 11:24 says, give freely and become more wealthy, be stingy and lose everything. Proverbs 11:25, the next verse says, the generous will prosper, and those who refresh others with themselves will be refreshed. It's almost as if God is saying, unless you try to be all about you, and the more you try to be about being generous and bringing refreshing to the lives of other peoples, you will find true prosperity and true wealth in that. And so where in this life are we making sure that our hearts are aligned and anchored in the way that God has called us to? Generosity in any capacity is proof that we are becoming more like Jesus. His goal, God's goal for us, is not to become more affluent, but it is to become more generous. We cannot become more generous without first coming to terms with this idea of being content with what we have. Now we must all take care of our needs, and God helps us with that. And also, if God blesses you with something, don't feel guilty if it's a little nicer than somebody else's. We see throughout Scripture there are people that had wealth and it was not condemned. But don't let it be the thing that defines you, and don't let it control you. But we also realize this, is that we have to be people who, for many of us, don't allow envy and covetousness, which is covetousness is talked about in the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments. Speaks to that. Don't let that be something that festers in your heart. Because ultimately, you know what? A lot of our language really reveals more about what's in our heart than about everybody else. And so when you see somebody succeeding, maybe it's because God has been good to them, and we can celebrate that. And the same God that is helping somebody else succeed can help you. And where we can be content with what we have, celebrate with those who are more successful. To be honest, there's a lot that I would not be envious of at all. I don't want more grass to mow. Like, what I have is terrible enough. And so, but yet I can then look down, or not even down, that's the wrong word, but I can look to those that maybe are more needy, and I can learn to be generous to them, because I've learned to be content in whatever state I am in. And you guys, I'll be honest, I'm working on this. I think this is one of the toughest things for anybody in our culture to deal with, because our culture is so addicted to things and to pleasure. We are so addicted to stuff. We don't want to admit it all the time, but I am. I'll admit it. I always want the latest gadget. I always want the best food. I always want, and again, in and of themselves, it's not always a bad thing, but if we're honest with ourselves, where is it becoming a thing that controls me? And where is that speaking then to the reality of me not being able to be content with where I am? And where do I learn, in some ways, to live within the means that God has provided? And in that, where am I making room for the opportunity for generosity in my life? And so we realize that God takes care of our needs. This isn't the issue, and again, with money itself, it's about a heart and letting the heart of God exist in us and in everything that we do. Simplicity does not take place in your living room, and meaning that the stuff that you have, it takes place first in your heart. The question we have to ask is the stuff or the busyness or the things, does it own you? And what is it we need to begin to lay before God and say, God, I need your help in this. Luke 16:13 says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. God and mammon. Reality is the great battle of our culture is that money in our culture represents pleasure, identity, and power. It's always kind of represented that. Right? Facebook, we want to put on our best foot forward, and so we got to look cool. Power, money definitely controls power. All you got to do is watch politics. Excuse me. When you look at some of these other things, you realize it represents pleasure. In our constant pursuit of pleasure, we never really find satisfaction. And so it says, and it asks this question, what do we need to do? Remember that your possessions are not the problem, because this is a heart issue. Allowing God to work out this area of simplicity works out the real culprit in all of this, which is greed. It's just us being willing to admit that if this is an issue that is in your heart, that you need to put before the Lord. Luke 12:15 says, then he said, beware and guard your heart against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. It goes on to say, you know, another way that it says this, to speak to the people who went on, take care, protect yourself against the least bit of greed. Life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot. It's not letting these things define us. Greed can become the prison by which we build around our hearts that imprison the joy and the happiness. And then what does it do? It releases toxic competition and resentment into our lives. We begin to resent people that have more than us. We become envious of all these things. Simplicity, you guys, sets the right things in order. I want you to hear these for a moment. Simplicity sets the right things in order. Simplicity rejoices in what Jesus has provided. Contentment, learning contentment, that's really another way of saying this. Contentment helps us to rejoice in what God has provided. It reorients our lives so that possessions can be genuinely enjoyed without destroying us. So again, if God has blessed you with something, enjoy it. Don't let it be the thing that controls you. We learn to enjoy the things God has provided for us without it being something that controls us. And it allows us to be generous with other people. And one of our core values is that we want to be a generous church. We want to be a church that cultivates heart of generosity and in all areas of our lives. But it starts with us learning how to be content with what we have so that we can bless other people, so we don't get stuck in greed and coveting and envy. All these basic things that run throughout the hearts of humanity. And our willingness to come to terms with the fact that maybe you don't deal with the big bad sins, right? Maybe we covet our neighbor's stuff. Maybe we're envious when somebody gets the promotion over us. Some of you, you're like, I don't want the promotion. I'm good where I'm at, you know. Maybe some of us never seem to find the satisfaction that we desire because we're looking in all the wrong places. You know, there's a story, there's a quote that I thought was really powerful, and it's this: there's no inspiring stories of accumulation, only inspiring stories of sacrifice. You think about it, the founding of our nation, they signed, you know, we give our lives, our freedom. They said, we give everything we have because of this cause we believe in. You think about so many of the people that inspire you. They are not people that were selfish, hopefully. They were people that were a great sacrifice because they believe in something bigger and greater than themselves. And part of the underlying struggle within our culture and in our world is just, it's the regular battle against self. It's the regular battle against the flesh and the things we desire that oftentimes aren't good for us. And we know that if we could surrender to God those things and be anchored in Him, we would truly find the contentment and the peace that we're looking for. And so serving doesn't become a burden, because it's never been about me anyways. Not having my neighbor's stuff doesn't become an envy, because it's all temporary anyways. You know, all these things, and yet I'm not going to feel guilty if God has blessed me, because I've come to it by honest means. And I've still allowed a heart of generosity within myself towards other people. So why do we need this contentment? Because greed affects all of us. Because those who embrace contentment and simplicity are able to live rich and satisfying lives that Jesus gives us, because they know in who they trust instead of what they trust. Why this idea of simplicity and contentment? Because those that embrace it will learn contentment. And we find that it's actually freedom, and it brings joy to our lives. So as we close out our time this morning, we're going to take some time, if we can have the worship team come. Because I don't know what it is that the Holy Spirit might be speaking to you this morning about this issue. Some of you might be wrestling with this. But can we be honest? If there's a wrestling, or if there's a whatever, that's probably because you need to put it before God and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. It's easy to get really defensive about a lot of things that somebody might say, and I think we sometimes get defensive because we don't want to admit there's an issue that we need to deal with. I know that's why I get defensive regularly. Prepping this message, I got defensive a lot. God, I'm fine. I know. Then I had to admit, yeah, I kind of get jealous of other people's things sometimes. I had to admit, yeah, I kind of wish this and that. I mean, I admit, God, I get caught up in the trap of our culture of needing the latest this and that. And it's hard. Sometimes it's really hard. But I think there has to be an admission that that's why we so much need God to be at work in our lives. That's why there's got to be an admission that we need the Holy Spirit to be in us and through us. You know, and on this day, I read this morning and realized, you know, it's Pentecost Sunday, and it reminds me of why, again, it's so important that as a believer that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, that I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to lead me, that I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to guide me and speak to me. It's because, man, I need the Holy Spirit in my life. I need Him to be at work in me and through me. So as we stand this morning, I want to invite you to stand. We're going to have worship teams on either, worship teams, not on either side. We're going to have prayer teams on either side. And we want to invite you, if you need prayer as we worship, to come find one of our worship team members. One of our prayer team members. Don't come find Eva. She's leading us in worship here. Otherwise, maybe with where you're at, just say, God, what is it that maybe I need to be honest about before You? And we have these response cards that we put in the back, in the pencil holders that are on the back of your seat. And you might just be like, you know what? Here's my response this week. I realize, man, sometimes I'm just envious. And I just need to let God work in that in my life. Sometimes I'm jealous. I need to work that in my life. Sometimes I realize I'm kind of greedy, I'm stingy. You know, stingy, in my opinion, is kind of a form of greediness, right? God, I need to be more generous. Where are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you this morning? And I want to also ask you, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, tell you the best and first decision you'll ever make is the decision to follow him. And it's really a simple prayer. It's you saying, God, I commit my life to you. I believe in your son, Jesus. I believe that he rose again on the third day. I want to give my life to you, and I want to follow you. It's a decision to believe in and follow Jesus. You accept him, you believe, and you commit your life to him. And if that's a decision that you make this morning, if that's something you want to know more about, we have our I Have Decided table in the corner that we want to invite you to go and find out more about what it means to follow him. Or you can say that prayer, or you accept him, and you believe, and you commit your life to him. We want to invite you to that this morning. So as you worship, we want to invite you to worship. If you need prayer, we'll have prayer teams available. Let's take a few minutes to worship together before we close out our time this morning. Let's do that.